She was interviewed by reporters from the Boston Globe, the New York Times, and three local TV stations. When almost everyone had left, Reinstadt suddenly appeared at her side.
"Congratulations," he said. "I meant what I said. I'm so proud of you."
Kylie, involuntarily, warmed in the glow of his smile. For just a moment, she forgot about Emil, and she touched the bandage on her cheek, hoping it had magically disappeared. The plump wad of gauze was still there, cottony, soft under her fingers.
"It wouldn't have happened without you. Looks like I have a job interview with the FBI next week."
"So I heard. If you need a recommendation, just say so. Do you need to stay at Shea Reinstadt again?"
"Thanks, but I think I'll be okay at home now, even though it's a mess. Maybe you could leave my bag with your concierge, and I can get it on Friday?"
Reinstadt nodded thoughtfully.
"Of course. Hopefully your decision doesn't have anything to do with your meeting Emil. I really am sorry about all of that, but, you know, you shouldn't have been snooping. But I guess we both know that's what you do, right?"
Kylie sighed. "Mea culpa. Look, I'm beyond embarrassed. Honestly, I am so sorry about that." He gave her a knowing smile.
"Come on, Kylie. You are impossibly nosy. We both know that you'd do it again if you had the chance, wouldn't you? And if you hadn't, eventually you might have nosed around a little more with OMG and found out anyway."
She nodded ruefully. "I suppose you're right. It's true that I'm sorry, though."
"I know. I never know if people are really sorry that they did something or just sorry that they got caught. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to make a point. The truth is that people are what they are, and they do what they do because of it. We can't help it. I'm not going to judge you, and hopefully you're not going to judge me. Quid pro quo? We're just going to keep this quiet. Agreed?"
"Of course. Look, I don't care if you're gay. Well, what I do care about is that you don't let anyone know who you really are. There's lots of gay politicians. What do you care if people know? It just seems so dishonest. It's about who you are as a person. And the fact that your whole platform is about transparency makes this feel like a betrayal. Don't you have to live transparently, too? If this is a lie, what else are you lying about?"
"Of course. I'd love to live openly, but just like you are using OMG, which is really a spying platform, to do some good, I feel that the end justifies the means. I'm going to get further and do more good in the world if most people think I'm like them. I think who I sleep with is private, and I plan to keep it that way. It has nothing to do with my ideas about how I want to run the country. Can you understand that?"
"I suppose. But I'm not sure that I agree. And the rug? You're supposedly an animal advocate."
Kylie threw her hands in the air.
"I know what you said, but a zebra rug? Really?"
"Emil gave it to me a long time ago. If I just threw it out, the poor zebra would be wasted. At least this way, I can sort of honor him."
"Walking on the skin of a dead zebra is a weird way of honoring him."
"Look, we can talk about this more another time. I can tell that you are the girl who is going to keep me honest. I just want you to know that I have a lot of respect for your spunk and your energy. If you don't like your offer at the FBI, please come and talk to me, okay?"
"I will, and thanks for everything, but can I ask you one more question?"
"If it's quick, what?"
"It seemed like it was inevitable that I'd encounter Emil. Did you want me to find out?"
"No, not really. I'm a little embarrassed that it happened like that. It was just unfortunate timing. My guess is that perhaps Emil wanted you to know that he was there. Maybe he was just letting you know how things stand, so that you wouldn't get any ideas."
"Oh, I see," she blushed, and surprised herself by throwing a hug around his neck. It was good that he could be so honest with her. Perhaps she could trust him after all. His skin felt warm under her clammy hands. Her fantasies about him weren't entirely buried, since she felt a small stab of disappointment that he was gay. But what had she expected? He was never attainable anyway.
He backed off so their bodies didn't quite touch and patted her back as if he was burping a baby.
"Have a good Thanksgiving."
"You too. Are you celebrating with Emil?"
She was amazed at her boldness.
Yes, we're just having dinner at Shea Reinstadt.
Well, don't eat too much turkey. Kylie waved him off and turned, headed toward Misha. He had been patiently waiting for her, amusing himself with his phone from a chair on the sidelines. He was startled when she approached, flashed his widest dimpled smile. Suddenly, Kylie sucked in her breath. She was elated to see him. Kylie had planned to pick up a couple of slices of pizza at Sal's, across from the common, then head home and relax with a movie. But when Misha suggested a celebration dinner at Stephanie's on Newbury Street, her plan sounded pathetic. Enough of being a hermit. Sure, she said, surprising herself. I'll meet you there. How's 7:30? That was just enough time to go home, log into OMG, and find out more about Emil. She was only sorry that she had never learned his last name. No matter, she would find it, and then have a lovely, relaxing celebration with Misha. They deserved it. Even though she had worked hard with Misha, putting her apartment back together, Kylie was dismayed when she unlocked her door, and the first thing she saw was the shredded couch cushions. She ignored it, got to work, opening her laptop on her table. Running the new searches on Emil was like shooting in the dark, since she wasn't entirely sure what she was looking for. She had started by searching Reinstadt's email, hoping to find Emil's last name. Nada. Frustrated, she realized that perhaps OMG wasn't as powerful as she had thought. She'd have to dig up some information from the usual places available to everyone else in the world. She Googled Bill Reinstadt, hoping to find some photos of him with Emil. There were hundreds of articles with photos to sift through, and she began clicking through them one by one. As in many of the photos, he was flanked by his gorgeous supposed girlfriend, Emily Wickland. But there was one color close-up that stopped her cold as Emily's aquamarine eyes stared out at her. They were the same shade as Emil's. Unforgettable. And her perfect smile? It was exactly like Emil's, too. No wonder he had looked so familiar. She had already seen many photos of Emily. Kylie shook her head in disbelief, then leaned in to study the photo more closely. Bill and Emily appeared to be the perfect political couple, with the glow of movie star glamour. What would Reinstadt supporters think about being duped like this? Kylie felt betrayed. She didn't care that he was gay, but this was nuts. She was shocked. What would his adversaries think? She could imagine what this might do to his career if this got out. No wonder he was so interested in accessing OMG, her spying machine. He needed to monitor what was being said about him. But perhaps she was mistaken. She carefully re-examined Emily's perfect, light-up-a-room smile that beamed at her from her computer screen. Unless he had an identical twin sister, it was unmistakably Emil. Evidently, he owned some very good wigs and hairpieces, not to mention a fashionable and very flattering wardrobe. Kylie couldn't tell if he was just a cross-dresser or if he was transgender. It didn't matter. She intended to find out more. She filled in the query fields for a new search on Emily Wickland. This time, she would look at more than Emily's calendar for dates with Bill. Still uncertain what she was looking for, within 10 minutes, she had thousands of emails. Emily's financials, texts, and access to her hard drive. Kylie had a couple of hours until it was time to meet Misha, and she dove in. Kylie already knew that Emily owned Making Faces, a PR firm. It was registered under Emily's name, not Emil's. Kylie suspected that the company was an arm of Bill Reinstadt's political ambitions, since it appeared that he was her best client. Kylie wondered why Emily hadn't just run the company as Emil, but it appeared that there was no public Emil. He seemed to be invisible, but why? She searched the emails but didn't know what she was looking for. Her instincts told her that everything she would find under the name of Emily Wickland would be squeaky clean. She desperately wanted to find out who Emil really was. She looked at her watch and sighed. Even though she knew it was gnawing at her, this would have to wait until she returned from dinner. Stephanie's was one of Kylie's favorite restaurants, just a few blocks from her apartment. Its prime location was on the corner of Exeter and Newbury, among chic boutiques, restaurants, and galleries. People went to be seen in the outdoor cafe in the summer and in November. It was still crowded inside and a reliable place to get a good meal. Misha was already seated in a tufted leather booth when Kylie got there. Unsure if this was a date, Kylie wasn't sure if she wanted it to be one. It was fine with her if this was just two friends celebrating, but just in case, she'd taken a tiny bit of extra care in getting dressed, and part of her was hoping that the dinner wasn't just as colleagues. She had been so involved running the search on a meal, there was no time left to fuss. Just as well, she wanted to look nice enough, but not like she was trying too hard. Still, something told her to free her usual ponytail, and she quickly brushed it out, letting the blonde ends grazing her shoulders. She quickly applied some blush to her non-bandaged cheek to give herself a healthy outdoor glow. She dabbed some gloss to her mouth that seemed to have a little smile on the corners, despite her nagging anxiety about a meal. She wore the same turtleneck and pants from the press conference, but added a thin leather belt around her waist, some gold hoop earrings, and put on her high-heeled boots. Misha rose as she came in. His face was flushed, and Kylie noticed that he'd changed into a nice sweater and wool pants. "You look hot," he said. Kylie got that this wasn't a dinner for colleagues and was a little surprised to be warming to the idea. They ordered margaritas and lobster guacamole to start. "That was amazing today," Misha commented. "I do encryption all the time, but never for anything so life and death." The waitress set their drinks on the table. "I know. In case I never said it, you did a great job," said Kylie. Misha raised his glass. "Here's to us. It's a crazy world out there, and we make a great team." Yay, team. Kylie wasn't sure what that meant exactly, but seemed neutral enough. She clinked his glass and took a sip. The drink warmed her as it went down, like drinking a glass of summer. By his warm eyes and smiles, she realized that Misha was flirting, and she had to admit that part of her was on high alert, and that part of her liked it. But something was locked up inside her, making her feel like a prudish, born-again virgin. What was the matter with her? She remembered his glove compartment, full of condoms. He was obviously a player. Maybe in time, she'd feel safer once she got to know him. The weight of her worries about Reinstadt and Emil were part of it, too. But she had held back in that department as well. She had promised Bill, after all, that it would be their secret. But something nagged at her that there was something that wasn't quite right. This seemed like it was bigger than about Reinstadt being gay. It was about totally deceiving the public. She would wait just a bit longer, since if there was something else to investigate, she would probably use Misha's help. Well, knowing so many secrets about people had turned her into a holding tank of information, and she wasn't sure how much she could absorb without exploding the tank. The waitress set the guacamole on the table. Kylie scooped up a huge mouthful of lobster bits and mashed avocado onto a chip and ate it. She shut her eyes, enjoying the flavor. When she opened them, Misha was grinning at her. "You look like you're enjoying," he said. "It beats ramen or pizza," Kylie said, smiling. But mostly, she was enjoying Misha's company. If only she wasn't anxious that something was wrong and wanted to get back and solve the Emil mystery. They ordered hamburgers and more margaritas. But as Kylie guzzled the last of her second drink, she fought to keep her eyes open. "I'm exhausted," she yawned. "Hey, so you want me to stay over your place to make sure that you're okay? I'll be like your bodyguard." She surprised herself by nodding yes. "I've got some reports that I have to finish, but I have to admit, it would feel good to have you there. The place still gives me the creeps after Fox's evil aura slimed up my couch. Well, even though Kylie had already been home, done some work, and gotten dressed, sleeping there alone felt frightening, since she still saw Fox pointing a gun at her. "But you'll sleep on the couch if that works," she added. "Well, maybe you can neutralize his bad vibes." "Of course. Not to assume, but I took the tea down here, just in case, so that I don't have to worry about my car." They walked down Exeter, past Commonwealth Avenue, where the small white Christmas lights lit the center mall like a fairyland, and up a block to Marlborough Street, where they turned towards her apartment. Happy to have Misha there, she dug up some blankets and a towel for him. They said goodnight, and Kylie stumbled into her bed and into a deep sleep, comforted that Misha was snoring softly on her couch and his gun was sitting on her coffee table.